855-453. That's the SACL toll-free call-in line. 855-450-FREE. That's Mark.
Pete.
And JJ.
Bringing you the live Thursday edition of Free Talk Live. We are going through the six reasons to keep your nose out of the government trough. And this is aimed mostly at business owners, not sort of people that might be getting government help in some other way, shape, or form. But this is one guy talking about his experiences getting government contracts and why he just decided it wasn't worth it. There are 6 points here. If you'd like to hear the previous four, that you can listen to the podcast tonight. It should be available in about a few hours at freetalklive.com. Number five, cash killers. The government hands out contracts slowly and on a schedule that is typically governed by political, not economic, agendas. This long and painful approval process means you often get strung out for months and sometimes even years waiting to hear on a contract. This happened to a friend of mine. He was involved in trying to get a government contract, and they needed to meet certain criteria. It took him several months to find out what the criteria were that he didn't meet, and that he was going to take him a couple of years working for somebody who did have the criteria in order to then have the criteria. I couldn't even tell you what all of it was, but it's something that's still going on. Once we waited for the official word on a government contract for 3 months, our day-to-day point person in the government department assured us that we were approved and that all they needed was a rubber stamp from above. Finally, after 3 months and after employing the team we needed to fulfill the contract, we were told the deal was canceled. No explanation was given other than that the contract had become a political hot potato. So, I mean, imagine what it's like for your business if you hire some people on so that you can be ready to do a contract that's going to start in the very near future. Because you need to get your team ready, you know, be operating like a well-oiled machine so that you can function the way you're supposed to. And then it turns, you keep them for 3 months and it turns out we don't want that. And then off they go. If you're dealing with a real customer, likely there's been some kind of bonding or some kind of deposit put down.
Exactly. There's probably not, it's not a situation where you've received no money. If private businesses dealing with other private businesses, they generally know they're not going to spend any money or capital until they've gotten some money, even if it's only 10% of the contract.
Something.
You know, there's some startup cost that's agreed upon, and a business is like, I'm not going to start one single thing until I know you're going to pay me for it.
Yep.
But when you're dealing with the government and you're looking at these meaty contracts. And,
right.
And
there's more on the back end, but there's nothing on the front end.
Exactly.
And, you know, when people are dealing with other people, they want money for good faith.
Yeah, I've even heard of nonprofits choosing not to take government grants. The nonprofits that help, you know, let's say battered women, for example, not taking big lump sum government grants because, like you said, it can vary quite a bit from year to year, and that it affects the programs that they can have. And whatnot. I mean, still,
they're also not allowed to bank the money, as I understand it. I mean, I know the government agencies, we've heard this story over and over again, that the end of the budget year, they'll buy all kinds of things that they wouldn't have bought to get rid of whatever's left in the budget so that they'll get that, you know, allocated that same amount of money and hopefully a little more the next year.
Right.
Because if they don't spend enough money, if they don't buy a whole new office furniture for everybody or whatever that they may have bought last year too, if they don't do the same thing, spend all that money, then they won't get the budget next year, and they always want bigger budgets. Who doesn't want a bigger budget?
Right.
Right. Reminds me of the clip in the movie Falling Down. No, it's not a business. It was a government road monopoly, I guess. But, spending the money and fixing a road that didn't need to be fixed at the time. And the main character took issue with that.
Yeah. Number six, commoditization. Most contracts are handed out through a competitive bid process. Responding to competitive bids or requests for proposals is entrepreneurial suicide. Genericizes your company. Basically, you'll be forced to offer a commodity product or service where the most important decision-making criteria for a customer is price and optics. After a year at the trough, we stopped chasing government work. We started to compete again in the real world based on things like the quality of our service, not the political desirability of our company. We became a sharper and more market-focused company, and in the end, we built a much more valuable and durable business. and so many companies, you know, do business with the government, and I'm sure they can all understand what it's like having done this, and many of them feel, well, you know, we got to do it or whatever, and I understand. These are just the statements of one guy and his quest to make his business the best it can be. When you consider how many people work for the government, and then how many people work for companies that work for the government, I've heard the number is above 50% of working Americans work for the government, if you consider that people are working for companies working for the government.
Well, when you look at their budget and how much money they're spending, when you're spending trillions of dollars, you're definitely going to have to employ a lot of people to spread that money out and pay and basically buy all those products.
Or just spend it on a lot of bombs and then blow them up on people that aren't deserving of it. You know, I wouldn't say anybody's deserving of it, but...
That's what the contractors, you know, to some extent, even the military is getting contracted out. How many of the guys over there that are holding the weapons in Iraq and Afghanistan are contractors? We've heard that the numbers are incredible. Barack Obama spoke out against this idea when he was campaigning. He felt that, you know, the military work should be done by military men at extraordinarily low pay and, you know, to have good old mommy government taking care of them. But the evidence isn't there that he's gotten rid of this stuff.
Right. At the same time, those sorts of companies are, you know, not only doing a lot of harm to the folks on the ground there and also, you know, distorting the economy here, but they're... For some people that maybe haven't been exposed to, like, I guess, free market principles, they think that that is what happens when you have free markets, that there are these big companies that go around and do the bidding of the government. And that's not you know, free markets. That's rent seeking. That's these companies butting up and finding that it's more competitive to lobby the government for favors instead of actually competing and producing something that people want to buy voluntarily.
People call it all kinds of different stuff: mercantilism, mm-hmm. corporatism,
right.
Crony capitalism.
Yep.
All these things, where the government is in fact this agency that of monopoly that hands out licenses, it permits, and, you know, is a kingmaker when it comes to businesses, whereas, you know, that's not what they call free market capitalism.
Right.
I understand people don't like the word capitalism. I think it's a sullied word when it comes down to it. But, you know, free markets often get lumped in with capitalism. I think that, you know, in a world of free markets, you can have things like communes. So if you're a communist, have a commune. Have your own commune. I don't think anybody should tax you on your land. You should be able to work with your friends to grow, you know, 7-grain breads and do, you know, sit out by the campfire at night. Whatever you want to do. Sweet. Have a great time. You know, with those grains, you can make yourself some beer and have a really great time out in front of the campfire. I think at the same time that people that want to buy, sell, and trade, produce things, they should be able to do that. That they should be able to keep the fruit of their labor.
Right.
And to take it from them, whether they're rich or poor, is stealing.
Yeah, agreed. I mean,
exactly.
Right now government claims the legitimate right to steal from people and distribute it to who they want. I mean, for someone with a badge or someone who works at an agency, the IRS or wherever, to do things that are wrong for me to do is still wrong. It doesn't make it morally right, or it doesn't, you know,
and part of how
make
they,
it efficient. For
and part
them
of how they those. Sell this idea is also doing a service for the country. You know, that whole phrase they use, you're helping our country, you're providing a service.
You're helping, you know, the bureaucrats,
well,
the politicians.
Right. When you were talking about how the soldiers would get paid a pittance and sent off to war and whatnot, because they were doing a service for our country, they were sold the idea that this service included sacrificing what wages they could have made in a private endeavor or the private market or a private workspace. So
all for what, some college and supposedly you'll get girls?
Well, no, not even that. Back in the day, it was more just about the idea of the flag. I mean, it was pure unadulterated jingoism, nationalism. I mean, it was just, that's all we got. You know, our country needs you. So come to fight for war and no pay.
Nationalism just leads to us versus them mentalities, and it scapegoats the strangers, you know, and then makes you look at them as subhuman. And
people that live on other sides of arbitrary lines that have been drawn by politicians.
Right.
Free Talk Live.
A congressman recently revealed that legislation totaling 2,900 pages and involving more than $1 trillion was available to members of Congress for less than 48 hours to study and consider. That's over 60 pages of legislation per hour. Do you think anyone read the entire bill? I'm Jim Babka with DownsizedDC.org. Consider a proposal buried in a 3,200-page, $388 billion bill, which would have empowered committee chairmen or their agents to examine Americans' tax returns. When this horrible provision came to light, no one claimed to know how it got into the bill. One congressman questioned said, "I didn't write it. I didn't approve it. I wasn't even consulted." If your attorney represented you this way, he might be disbarred. But this is how Congress represents you every day. That's why DownsizedDC.org has created the Read the Bills Act. You can force Congress to read their bills before they pass them at DownsizedDC.org.
I have bought a few bottles of Heart and Body Extract and have to say that it certainly does work.
That's what Jack from Michigan had to say after his experience with heart pain and what he did to treat it with Heart and Body Extract.
I actually had a huge heart flutter. I was also having some edema around my ankles and very worrisome clot in my right leg that would happen from time to time while I was trying to sleep.
Heart and Body Extract is all natural with no negative side effects. It will help repair or correct past problems associated with the heart and body circulation.
After my second bottle of Heart and Body Extract, all problems are now gone.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
I ordered a third bottle of Heart and Body Extract for maintenance as I want to keep everything working.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Energy, energy, and more energy.
We all need it. Get the energy you need quick through the powers of wild forest extracts. Wild Chagan birch bark are the secrets of the forest, used exclusively by Russian athletes. Wild Chaga is the world's top source of superoxide dismutase, the critical enzyme that blocks the aging process. Chaga is good for your heart and even helps support healthy arteries. Wild birch extract is the top source of betulin, a natural sterol needed by every cell of the body. And healthy cells mean a healthy body and a more powerful you. No wonder it's known as a king of all herbs. Experience real energy and power like you've never dreamed possible. Take Chago Charge Tea with Wild Birch Bark every day and Chagamax capsules to get the energy you need.
You deserve it.
Order today by calling 877-817-9829. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Now, more Free Talk Live. Dial in at 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Talk Live, 855-453. That's the SACL toll-free call-in line, 855-450-FREE or 3733, depending on whether you got one of them phones that has letters on it or whatever. If you found out that all the best liberty activists from around the world were moving to the same place in order to achieve liberty in their lifetimes, would you want to join them? It's happening, and you can be part of it. Join the Free State Project at freestateproject.org. we're all movers here for the Free State Project, and best decision I made in my life.
Yeah, I feel pretty happy with it.
Awesome community here.
FreeStateProject.org. JJ, tell me something about FreeTalkLive.com.
Oh, at FreeTalkLive.com, you'll find the Shrine of Female Listeners, proving that not just men listen to this show, but as well females, and many of them are very intelligent and great conversationalists. But there you can find pictures of validated amplifiers as well as validated listeners. And ladies, you can feel free to send in your picture. It's not a beauty contest. It's just a way of maybe networking or getting your name out there. Who knows? Just because you like Free Talk Live.
That's the reason.
How does this validation process work?
It's all you have to do is prove that you're a listener of Free Talk Live by having something that says Free Talk Live or shows Free Talk Live in some way, shape, or form. That's the validation process.
Okay.
So rather than somebody taking a picture that they found online of some chick someplace,
right.
This is, you know, some chick someplace with a Free Talk Live bumper sticker or something.
Right, and there's also video validations as well. So if you feel creative.
21st century.
That's right.
Actually, we're doing that. Let's go to Kurt in Michigan. Kurt, what's on your mind?
Gentlemen, how are you tonight?
All's well.
Doing well, Kurt.
How you doing, buddy?
Good. Oh, doing very well. Hey, Pete, how are those cameras working out for you guys?
Excellent. I appreciate it, man. I took some video on my recent two-week break from the Shire here and of the trip and some folks that I ran into, so appreciate it, man. And today, actually, when we Adama was in court, we had some interaction with some of the folks up there in Mantua wearing badges. So.
Now, you know they're 720p. Are they giving you some good high-def
yeah.
pictures?
God, Kirk, get to your call.
Anyway, I'd like to talk about voting.
Okay.
Now, I know you have this cruise coming up, Mark,
yes.
And you're going to defend voting. And in speaking about this with Stephanie a couple of Sundays ago, you had mentioned that you had not heard an argument yet persuasive enough. Well, I remember about 5 months after the last time I called and talked about voting came up again between you and Ian, and you actually referenced my call from, it had to have been 5 months earlier. And I asked you two questions, and I'd like to, and I actually added a third one. But if I could ask all three of these at once, you'll see how they all work together.
Okay.
So the first question is, under what circumstance can you choose a leader for somebody else and still remain within a framework of liberty?
Under what circumstance?
And the second question.
Okay.
Under what circumstance can you choose a leader for somebody else and still remain within a framework of liberty?
That's the first, yeah.
The second is the companion question. Under what circumstance can you choose how somebody else's money is spent and remain within the framework of liberty? And my new question, the third one is, can you name anything other than those two things that is actually done at the voting booth?
Well, I think that at the voting booth, one chooses whether or not one is going to vote, in many cases, for sort of referendum situations. So one is choosing not necessarily how one's money is spent, but whether one's money is spent. And I think that that is a way to choose for liberty. One of the things that you like to point out is that that you believe voting to be immoral. And this is the one of the planks that are out there. Like, you can say that, to me, you can say that voting is ineffective. You can say that voting is a waste of one's time. You can say that voting is a choice between two jerks. And all these things, okay, fine. I'll give you all those points. But to say that it's immoral, I don't think holds water. And here's the reason. Here's the condition under which I would say that it is a immoral way to choose my leader, Kurt. When the other person that may be chosen is going to be a really, really bad choice and is going to steal more of my money.
So the lesser of two evils becomes the moral choice.
I think that when you have, because here's the reason, you don't actually, you know we're going to have a president in 2012, right, Kurt?
Well, be that as it may.
Well, allegedly. I'm just saying. So, you're saying that. So, what you're conceding is that you're going to make a choice by not making a choice. Is that what you're conceding?
You could ignore them altogether.
The point I'm making is that by the time you walk into that voting booth, You've already said, by doing that, that I do have the right to choose a leader for somebody else, and I do have a right to spend their money, even if my choice is to not spend it at all.
I don't think that that's
still a choice. Well,
yes.
I have the right to make.
I have the right to choose that I don't have my money spent, and if my neighbors and friends, I think that I have the right to try to prevent somebody from choosing to spend their money without their consent. I think that that's entirely a legitimate use of one's vote.
But if your side wins, it covers everybody, even the people who want their money spent.
They can those people can spend their money all they want, Kurt. If they want to build a road, they can go out and build a road. I've done nothing to stop them.
I wish that was we lived in a society within which you could actually do that, but you can't just go out and build a road.
You can go out and buy property and build roads if that's what you want to do. Mostly you can do that. It's just such a financially prohibitive action that people don't do it.
Well, I mean, that may be...
Because you need interaction with others to help pay for it.
Right, it may be the scene in the...
That's what you can't have.
Right, it may be the scene and unseen.
You can't have the interaction with others.
I don't know what you're talking about. You can't buy ground and put concrete on it?
Yes, but in order to make it financially viable, you need to have interaction with others so that pays for itself. Sure, I mean, if you're a millionaire and you want to go build yourself a race course where only you and your Ferraris drive on it, have at it. But in order for somebody who wants to make a business out of building roads to make it financially viable, they have to have someone to use those roads.
Sure, and those people
can... That's not going to happen in this country.
If they build a significantly better road, they can do a variety of different things, Kurt. They could put advertisement and billboards up on their road and then make that road...
I understand how it would work, and I know it would work better.
Right. I mean, what we see today.
We don't, but that doesn't mean you can't do it.
Yeah, what we see today, though, I mean, it is more difficult to do because the state claims a monopoly in doing a lot of these things.
It is difficult,
no doubt. Just like, I mean, in the past, 100 years ago, 90% of people or so belong to these mutual aid societies to help each other out in times of need. And today, a lot of people don't because the government says, hey, we'll take care of you from cradle to grave. And they steal money from people, and they do a poor job of it. And the same thing applies to roads. There's no, like, if the government didn't say, we'll provide the roads, then people would say, maybe pool their money to build roads. Or there would be capital investors to say, hey, I could get a good return. This guy, Kurt, has a good idea.
I'm sure there would be, but it has been taken over as a monopoly in this society. But I don't know how we got from voting to roads anyway.
Well, I mentioned...
My issue is that when you walk into a voting booth, you're walking in there with the idea that you do have the right to make those decisions for people.
I have the right to make...
Even if your decision is the lesser of two evils or even the right decision, just to take that right to make that decision... I believe to be wrong.
How could it possibly be wrong to say, no, it's not okay to take my money?
I mean, the system itself legitimizes force. What if me and my friends said,
I don't know that voting legitimizes force. How does it do that?
Because it legitimizes the system.
I don't think it does. Free Talk Live.
Becky, thanks for calling.
Oh, no problem.
Lyle, honey, it's time to go home.
DoubleMySpeed.com.
What is that he keeps saying?
DoubleMySpeed.com.
DoubleMySpeed.com.
What is that?
Oh, this amazing site. Lyle logged on to DoubleMySpeed.com, got a free comprehensive diagnosis, and within minutes, he knew exactly what was slowing down our PC.
Wow.
Anyway, DoubleMySpeed.com removed dangerous spyware and a virus.
No kidding.
They cleaned our computer remotely and restored it to peak performance.
DoubleMySpeed.com. DoubleMySpeed.com.
We know, Lyle. He's so excited about DoubleMySpeed.com that he wanders the neighborhood to spread the word. But the only thing he can say is DoubleMySpeed.com at double speed.
Gee, I wonder if Don knows about DoubleMySpeed.com.
Oh, Lyle sent him an email. Don, do you know about...
DoubleMySpeed.com. DoubleMySpeed.com.
DoubleMySpeed.com.
Get your free diagnosis at DoubleMySpeed.com, and within minutes, find out what's slowing down your PC.
DoubleMySpeed.com. Yes, it was a group email.
Get your free diagnosis today. DoubleMySpeed.com. Your PC, like new again. DoubleMySpeed.com.
Local Army Navy surplus stores are hard to find these days, but not military issue supplies. They're right here online at mainmilitary.com. That's right, just like the state, M-A-I-N-E, military.com. We have everything for true, total preparedness. MaineMilitary.com is not a typical website. It has much more than your old surplus store. Quality military-issue survival gear like canteens, mess kits, utensils, gas masks, filters, and chemical suits. Magnesium fire-starting tools, strike anywhere, waterproof, and storm matches. First aid kits, splints, tourniquets, parachute 550 cord, military manuals, sandbags by the bale, and a huge Molly assortment of vests and pouches for every need. Call 207-989-6783, 207-989-6783, or visit MaineMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, military.com. The Maine name in military supply.
Meet Jerry D.
Hi.
Jerry and his family, like you, are very concerned about world conditions and have gathered many emergency preparedness items, including Turtle Tough shelters.
We have added 2 24-foot Turtle Toughs to our supplies and feel very secure knowing our large family is ready for whatever the future may bring.
Turtle Tough shelters are not tents. They are permanent yet portable four-season geodesic frame shelters that are as strong as a cabin at a fraction of the cost and are easy to set up, take down, and move anywhere. Available in two sizes. Get your Turtle Tough shelter and accessories included at TurtleToughShelters.com. That's Turtle, T-U-F-F, Shelters.com. Or call 801-623-3288. That's 801-623-3288. Or see them online at TurtleToughShelters.com. Turtle Tough Shelters, your all-season home away from home.
Hey, Brian, if you could do just one thing today to ensure your family's food security, what would it be?
That's easy, Bill. I'd head straight to SoupBeanSurvival.com.
SoupBeanSurvival.com?
I know, Bill, it sounds crazy, but this ancient secret has been around for over 8,000 years, and it truly is nature's super survival food.
Really, Brian, the number one survival food? Well, certainly the forgotten survival food.
Absolutely, Bill. The folks at SoupBeanSurvival.com scoured our planet to find the very best heirloom seeds, to truly find nature's super survival food.
Brian, these aren't grocery store beans, are they?
No way, Bill. You're not going to find these beans in any grocery store. These are the absolute highest quality beans in the world. Visit SoupBeanSurvival.com. That's SoupBeanSurvival.com for all the information you're going to need for nature's super survival food.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in now, 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. It's the SACL toll-free call-in line. If you're a cigarette smoker, I was too for many years, you know that they're going to kill you at some point. There's a healthier option, 22,000 times healthier. Vaporsmiths.com. A pack-a-day smoker will save, well, about $120 a month. It tastes better, no more ashtray mouth. There's no smell, no secondhand smoke. There's no smoke at all. You can use them just about anywhere. Free shipping on orders over $60 and a free starter kit with a purchase of 40 cartomizers. So go there to Vaporsmiths.com. Buy 40 cartomizers. You'll get free shipping and a free starter kit with coupon code FTL. That's FTL as in Free Talk Live. You can call 855-2-GET-VAPOR or go to Vaporsmiths.com, 855-2-GET-VAPOR. And the old standby on Free Talk Live of whether voting is immoral has come up again, and it's always interesting. Different people disagree on the show as to whether or not this is the case. And Pete, what you said before the break was, if you would repeat it for me.
Essentially, I said voting grants legitimacy to the system.
And I've heard this before, and I'm going to counter that with a statement that maybe you've heard before. I'm not sure. Is that throughout the course of human events here in the United States of America, we've held many elections, and many of those elections on a local and state levels are often poorly attended. Sometimes when you're talking about local elections, you're talking about, numbers as low as 10%, 5%, 3% of people show up to these elections. And I don't think people ask themselves if, in the case of a municipal election where 3% of the voters show up, and of those 3%, probably most of them don't know what they're doing at the polls anyway, or at least a portion of them. Probably a number of them that decide who they're voting for. There's usually that little amount in the middle, the 5 or 10% of the people in the middle that make the decision as to who's going to be mayor or whatever. Nobody says, well, the mayor's not legitimate because only 3% of the people voted for him. I mean, 97% of the people voted no thanks to either one of the mayors. But nobody says that the mayor is not legitimate. So how is voting legitimized? How does it legitimize the system?
I mean, think about, like, step back from our culture, our society, and think about it as, let's say, somebody looking throughout history, looking from another world, whatever, like, and looking at the system that we're born into, and the fact that we happen to be born in this under what I would, you know, it's a system based on violence, doesn't mean that they have any legitimacy. Doesn't the fact that these people that have the guns and that are trying to control our lives, restrict and deny choices, they don't have any legitimacy over us just because they claim it, any more than if I said I have legitimacy.
I concur with
over you. So to partake in an election of a system that was in a structure that they set forth, therefore grants them legitimacy. Because, I mean, otherwise, like myself and let's say we were born in the same neighborhood, and me and the rest of the neighbors get together and say, hey, you have to vote. You can vote in this election, and the choices are either we're going to kill you or you have to pay us $10,000.
Chop your leg off.
Right. and that doesn't mean that by you participating in the election, you're therefore denoting that we do have some authority over you, because you have to play by the rules that we set forth. And at the end of the day, I mean, the mayor situation, let's say somebody gets elected mayor or they pass some arbitrary legislation, you know, it's not law, it's legislation, it's man-made, it's you know, arbitrary. So at the end of the day, you have the right to ignore what they pass. You don't have to abide by it. And I would ask that people don't abide by things that they find immoral or that are inefficient and, you know, through the system. I mean, there's an excellent essay, just Google the right to ignore the state. And I think, you know, this is the idea that, you know, ideas have consequences, and one mind at a time. The state is not going to dissolve overnight through an election, but it's going to cease having legitimacy one mind at a time. When each of us acts on our belief that these people with badges, these people that are trying to intimidate us, don't have any authority over us, they don't deserve any extra rights, and if they initiate force on somebody else, they're just as much of criminals as are anybody else. So
I think part of what Pete's saying is sort of that it sort of lends itself to the credibility of the illusion that the state is actually there and the state is actually something other than an armed group of thugs and words on paper.
I understand. I certainly have a rebut, but this is the show about your calls. So let's go to Travis in Miami.
Hey, what's going on?
What's happening?
Yeah, I was. How you doing?
What's up, Travis?
I agree with Pete 100% on the non-voting. We maybe this is like a.
That's just democracy.
Down here passing out.
I vote for Pete.
At least the same voting is violence. But sometimes I feel tempted to vote just because if there was someone who could instantly stop the wars, you know, save people from getting hurt, I don't know. If it could work, I would like to do that sometimes, but I still overall just disagree.
You know, I see that this portion makes perfectly good sense to me, that the politics trap is out there, and that in certain places that one can get mired in the whole process of politics and waste one's time. For instance, Ian will often tell the stories about his adventures in the Libertarian Party, and just hoping against hope that they could finally get a Libertarian elected into the Florida State House or whatever it is. He was a campaign manager and that kind of thing. And, you know, people don't know what else to do, so they'll do stuff like this. I see that as being true. But Pete, the idea that voting legitimizes the government, doesn't going to court legitimize the government?
It does. Yes, I agree. And I've had this internal struggle every time I go. And I mean, at one point, maybe, you know, I'll stop going. But right now, I use it as an outreach mechanism. I view going to court as a defensive thing.
I view voting as a defensive thing.
Well, let's look at voting, and let's say, hey, are we either going to have a 10% or 5% increase in taxes this year? And so you say, I'm going to 5% because it's less, and I want to protect more of the money I earn. But you're still saying these people have a right to your money, or even
I don't
a tax
think I
increase.
Am saying that necessarily, and it's not like you really get the choice of that. You generally get to choose between one bureaucrat and the other. And mostly when I think about voting, I think about it on the municipal level or on the state level. I don't bother. I know what math is like, and I don't think that, you know, when you're talking about voting for president or whatever, maybe in the primaries, but when you're talking about casting a vote for the president, you're talking about a statistically insignificant act.
If you want to vote in a voluntary association that you join, that's great. But to say that voting for a forced upon you structure that's based on violence doesn't legitimize the system, I think is completely flawed.
I don't think it legitimizes the system because not voting for it seems to have the same effect as voting for it. We've got 250 years.
What happens if everyone
more than that of precedent behind not voting, and it still hasn't worked? It is a completely flawed idea. Now, I'm fine with people freeing their mind from the state. I'm for that. But I think you can vote and free your mind from the state, because I agree with everything that you said except the whole part about voting. There are a lot of people that agree with none of what you said, but don't vote.
Politicians don't care if you say, hey, taxes are immoral. They don't care if you say that, but if you stop paying them, then they care. So this is an action thing. It's you're saying, hey, I think the system is violent, but I'm still going to vote. They still then have this perception of authority over, and people that have not yet concluded that they are immoral.
Travis?
Yeah, I agree. Voting still does. I'm sorry.
Okay, let me just, Mark, one little thing. We talked a little bit about the numbers of people that vote. Now, like, if Congress, let's say, the Congress critters there on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., if they were going to go to vote on spending money to go kill people, right?
Uh-huh.
They need a certain quorum, right? A certain number of their critters need to be there in order for this vote to be official.
Right.
Right. But we can elect someone with 3% of the population voting. Don't you think that's flawed?
JJ, you're not going to have me arguing that the system is legitimate. There's no way for me to do that.
Let me extrapolate that out then. Okay, if these Congress critters we're going to vote for are going to go and vote for war, I think we ought to have a quorum of the populace voting for them.
Look, as far as I'm concerned,
to legitimize them.
That makes sense. If you can't get a majority of the population, not a majority of the voters, but a majority of the population, then you can't really call them democratically elected.
That's right.
And I'm saying that would make them legitimate. Just they're not democratically elected. Free Talk Live.
Heritage for the Blind reminds you to be kind. There's something you can do for those who depend on you. Call 1-800-DONATE-CARS, 1-800-DONATE-CARS today.
Heritage for the Blind is an IRS-recognized charity, and your donation is tax-deductible. Whether your car runs or not, we'll tow it away for free. And as a special thank you, you'll receive a free 3-day hotel voucher to one of many exciting locations. So be a star. Donate your car. Call 1-800-DONATE-CARS or call 1-800-555-6689. And remember, you can prevent blindness by getting your eyes checked annually.
Call 1-800-DONATE-CARS. 1-800-DONATE-CARS today. Today.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop! Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
We don't need to convince you that the threat of forced entry is on the rise and that your door locks are inadequate. Now you can virtually eliminate the threat of your door being kicked in with the Door Sentinel. The Door Sentinel offers standalone door kick-in protection for under $67 and installs in minutes on any door. Turn your home or apartment into a fortress. Get the Door Sentinel at SentinelSecurityGroup.com or call 678-648-6757. The Door Sentinel, always on guard for you.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Don't let summer be a bummer. Stop sunburn pain, poison ivy, and mosquito bite itch, and the burn of athlete's foot with just one Safe-All natural first aid product, Dermatol. Many GCN listeners have already discovered how effective Dermatol is as a natural, non-acidic way to treat cuts, burns, bites, rashes, shingles, boils, and many skin problems. Now this special offer. Buy one bottle of Dermatol, get one bottle free. Call 1-800-217-6677 and mention GCN. Dermatol is the must-have first aid product for your preparedness kit. Made in America by Americans, Dermatol's soothing, rapid restoration of injured skin is so effective it's guaranteed. Call 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. And ask for the GCN Buy One, Get One Free Special. Or use coupon code GCN at checkout at DermatolUSA.com. Spelled DermatolUSA.com. Efficient, economical, effective. Spray it all with Dermatol.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Live 855-450-FREE. That's the SACL toll free call in line, 855-450-3733. JJ, tell me about freetalklive.com.
Freetalklive.com has a lot of things for you to go and check out. Check out the archives, the MP3 archives going back to 2006, totally free. Some other sites might charge you for this content, but not Free Talk Live. There you can get it all for free, all the way back to 2006.
And if you have a company that needs to try something new in the area of accounts receivable, SACL CAI does collections, early out billing, and they purchase charged off receivables. They know that your business is important to you, that your customers are important to your business, and they treat your customers with respect when they handle your accounts receivable issues. You can see their banner at freetalklive.com. It's the top one at the right-hand side of the page. It is SACL CAI. So we've been on this voting topic here a little bit. Let's go to Nick in Illinois. Nick?
Hello. Pete and JJ, you've stated multiple times now that people shouldn't vote because voting legitimizes the state. Or to be more specific, you believe that voting lends an illusion of
legitimacy. Whoa. Maybe Pete said this.
Right?
Maybe Pete said this, but I haven't said that much. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. So Pete has said that voting lends an illusion of legitimacy to the state, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
To the idea, the bad idea. I mean, the state is just a great fiction. It doesn't exist.
Yeah. Yeah.
The story.
Well, yeah, but what I would argue is that convincing people to stop voting is worth nothing if you don't convince them that their voting does not lend legitimacy. You need to disconnect the idea that voting lends legitimacy to the state, and that is a huge key difference, because if you simply tell people not to vote, you're still buying into the frame that voting actually does lend legitimacy. They might stop voting thinking that whatever they would have voted for would have been legitimate if they had voted for it. It's more important to convince people that voting does not lend legitimacy. And I think that will, in fact, bring about the end of the state faster.
So what's the action plan here? I'm not sure I entirely understand, Nick.
It's simply that people, like, rather than going around telling people you shouldn't vote, it's better to convince them that voting does not mean that the person they voted for has any right to aggress against people.
I believe that.
I mean, I can agree with that. That's a good point.
There are certain individuals who want to vote for someone who is going to aggress against people.
That much is absolutely true. And you need to teach them the ideas of liberty. And this is, I think, what it all boils down to, is this harping on voting or not voting, I think, is largely pointless, because most of the time, voting doesn't matter.
Right.
You're not the deciding vote in the circumstance.
My metaphor for voting
I would take this,
is very simple.
I would take this step further and say that the only way to effectively communicate that you believe that voting doesn't legitimize the state is by continuing to live free and ignore the state, even as you vote in people who will hopefully reduce the size of the state. Because that way, you know, your actions are matching your words. You're voting while still not acknowledging that the person you voted for, if they get in, has any legitimacy to aggress against you. The only thing they have legitimacy to do is what they would have legitimacy to do
right,
anyway,
but,
which is
but
not
Nick, I see where you're coming from, but let's take that to the extreme, and let's say everybody agreed with you that the state, that we should ignore the state, but they continue to vote. Then the state continues to exist, and people continue to get stolen from.
Not if
well,
they
no, if people
don't
ignored it. The state, they wouldn't pay their taxes, and then the state wouldn't exist.
You know that that there have been elections, situations where nobody has voted in a municipal election in a few circumstances, and they'll either A, hold another election, or B, they'll appoint somebody to the position.
Oh, they'll have vacant offices?
There are vacant offices, but they're usually not offices of import. You're talking about, you know, keeper of the checklist or something like that, and the guy who did it last year will just hold on to it.
At the end of the day, I think Nick's right. We need to focus on the principles behind this.
I agree with that.
And, you know, ignoring the state to such an extent that who cares who's running for office? Who cares what some talking head said last night on some show? Let's just live our lives. Let's treat each other as we want to be treated. And let's, you know, that's it. Let's have a free and prosperous society that way.
Yeah, if we got to the point where people really were able to ignore the state because it wasn't powerful enough to aggress against each other, then voting wouldn't matter anyway.
It might have been the central state of the federal government, but there's always been aggressive municipal governments. I mean, I'm listening to Conceived in Liberty by Murray Rothbard now.
The quartzite government in Arizona, that story you guys covered.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy stuff what's going on in quartzite Arizona. So if it's not the federal government that's coming after you, but in municipal or state governments.
Right, but it's not the government. It's not this big, massive, monolithic state. It's individuals who believe they have the right to use force against you based on a piece of paper or a badge on their chest. And
sure.
At the end of the day, they have brothers, they have family, they have friends. We need to get through these people and tell them it's not right to initiate force.
I agree with that much. I mean, that this is where the battle is fought. It's not fought, in fact, in the voting booth, although you can have some sort of strategic victories in the meantime, like they have in the Free State Project, where many liberty-loving individuals have gotten into the government. But while we're communicating these ideas, it gives an opportunity to say, well, look, if they cut out, I don't know, some program, state program or whatever, and then private programs take over in its place, you say, look, this can work. And that's my idea, is that these things work together. Nick, thanks for the call. Let's go to David in Keene. David?
Oh, am I on?
You're on.
Okay, I was going to say, I think voting, you have more chance to get personal freedoms by voting than not by voting, because, I don't know, I just...
It's more effective? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that you can, by voting, it seems to me, have a vote against intrusion into your life and vote against getting jailed for certain things, can't you?
Well, you certainly vote for candidates that would represent that.
Yeah, but you look at the candidates that typically run for office anywhere, and they really just say what they need to say in order to get elected and then do whatever they want to do. There's no accountability once you've voted. It's like voting is sort of like, well, I'm going to write a blank check today, and I'm going to give this blank check to someone, and I really hope they spend it well, but it turns out, well, everyone you gave your blank check to is a meth head, and they go and buy a bunch of meth and do crazy stuff. It's like, yeah, it's sort of like voting is like the state lottery, where you're constantly, sure, there are winners occasionally, where people get what they voted for, or get what they wanted through voting, but most of the people who play the lottery are losers. Most of the people who play lottery their whole life don't win anything, but yet they sit there day after day buying their ticket for their seven, number pick ticket with the power number and whatever it's got going on, and they never win. But yet every day they go out and pull that lever for that ticket, hoping that today's the day. And that's exactly like voting. That's exactly like walking into the booth, pulling that lever, and hoping that this guy doesn't screw it up like the last guy did.
Being involved in the political process, the incentive of government is to grow. There's no check on it. It's an illusion. So to continue to think, hey, this next guy or this next girl is gonna scale the state back, is false. I mean, look at the size and scope of the state today. I mean, does a piece of paper, the Constitution, constrain it? No. There's no way. I mean, throughout
history.
What about
people like Ron Paul? I mean, you know that this guy has consistently, over the course of, 12 terms as a U.S. representative, has been pretty consistent on pro-freedom issues.
And what has he gotten done?
But that wasn't the statement that Pete made.
I understand. What has he done, though?
Let's say we have a whole Congress filled with Ron Pauls and like-minded people. Then what do we have? We still have
a much smaller state.
Sure, we do, but it still is it an institution that rests on violence, that steals money from people, and he wants to have border checkpoints or border control. He wants to do some other things.
His message has changed from the 2008 message, and I agree that his 2008 message was not good on immigration. I'm with you. But I think that he has listened to his constituents. His message has changed in 20 years, too.
He's still taking a paycheck that's stolen from people. I'll just say that. And that's not right.
But his time is worth something, and the time...
So he can take... People can pay him to go out and educate and be an orator, if that's... And I think he's a great spokesperson.
He's been more effective in being a politician. I mean, take a look at what he did in 2008 as far as the libertarian movement.
So he's great to you. So maybe a Michelle Bachmann may be great to somebody else.
That much is true.
Or a Nancy Pelosi may be great to somebody else.
Certainly. But those people simply need to be educated
about
the ideas of freedom. That doesn't really have anything to do with voting.
But we should not have a duty to educate these people who want to control our lives.
Agreed. But
they have no right to steal our money.
It's the reality of life. It's sad.
Ignore these people. They have no right to your money. They have no right to control.
But they won't ignore you.
See, the reality that you keep talking about is a fictional reality.
If I choose not to pay my property taxes,
yes.
It's not a fiction that they're going to take
like
my property
Jay Noon?
Away from me.
Like they did for Jay Noon.
Jay Noon?
That's right.
Well, they haven't
you're,
done it yet.
Once again, you're jumping
your
conclusions.
Don't hang your hat on what's going on with Jay Noon, because you don't know what's going
to
happen.
But somebody has to be the first to step up and say no, and eventually they're going to embolden other people, and we're going to grow as a community, and we're going to stand together against these people who use threats to scare folks.
What about this? Can I say? What about supposing like some free?
Go right ahead.
Supposing some free staters got in there, and like in this state, and then they like dismantled government or something, and then just said, "Well, we have no government now. Let's leave." No, that's
free talk good. Live.
You know the U.S. dollar is devaluing. You can see it happening every day. You know a new currency will take over at some point. Wouldn't you like to be in on the ground floor? Bitcoins. They're a decentralized, anonymous internet currency. They're free to use, free to accept, and free from inflation forever. You can use them anywhere in the world, and their value seems only to be increasing. Find out more at weusecoins.org. Don't be kicking yourself in the pants in a month. Your dollars are going down. Bitcoins are going up. Weusecoins.org.
As a smoker, you know traditional cigarettes are unhealthy, and the taxes feed the very beast stealing your freedom to smoke. That's why the Vapor Station offers an assortment of electronic cigarette kits. Each rechargeable, refillable kit is an effective, affordable alternative to smoking. No combustion, no tar, no foul lingering odors, and no smoke, secondhand or otherwise. Just inhale pure enjoyment and exhale vapor. Take a puff just about anywhere without getting hassled. Get your e-cigarette kit now at VaporStation.com.